That is exactly the scripture, but yeah, as you can see, that's it's a nice version of a very well-known story. So it's a very special day as we celebrate and dedicate these children and their families to the Lord, and I thought I would introduce our dedications with a little bit of parenting advice. It's always dangerous to give parenting advice, even by parents, because it assumes, you know, I'm the expert, I'm going to give you the advice. And then everyone who's not a parent thinks, oh, well, tune out, irrelevant. But the reality is, hopefully, we'll find these ABCs of parenting that I'm looking at will actually be relevant to all of us as we embrace the children in our lives, whether they be our neighbors' kids or nephews and nieces or friends or whatever it might be. So I'm just going to give you three simple ABCs this morning, the ABCs of parenting. So the first one is accept your children as a gift from God. In our story, the disciples thought that Jesus was too busy to spend time with the children. You know, he was an important man. He had places to go, people to see. Don't bother the teacher. But of course, we well know what Jesus says. And in this version, he says, don't ever send them away. Bring the little ones to me. Well-known passage or similar to it, isn't it, to us? But really reflect on what that means about Jesus, the Son of God, just taking time to hang out with children. It says a lot about the heart of God, I believe, for human beings and for children. Jesus continued to surprise people all through his life. He placed value and he had time for people that other people had very little time for. A woman of Samaria, a tax collector up a tree trying to get a better view, a bunch of fishermen from Galilee that, you know, normally people in Galilee, especially fishermen, who'd want to hang out with them. But Jesus did. So accept your children as a gift from God. Let them know that you love them no matter how successful they are in the sports field or at school, or how many prizes they get or whatever it might be. And when they do something that really makes you mad or disappointed, and they will, then let them know, even as you give them some consequences, that you still love them. In Hebrews chapter 12, 9 and 11, we'll just read those two verses, but the whole section there is very good. We have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? That's God. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So discipline is an important part of parenting, as we know. And yeah, it's a challenge to find the right discipline for the right child. Certainly all of our children had very different personalities. And my middle child, you just look at her and she would melt into pieces. Whereas my third child, not so much. So some of you know the ones I'm talking about there. So clear boundaries and fair consequences are important. Don't be like those parents or uncles and aunts who make these threats and then repeat them or repeat what has to happen over and over again. Because what happens? The children just tune it out. And then they can see the volcano just growing. And just as it's about to explode, they do what you want. And they know when that's going to happen. They know when you're not serious, and they know when you're really World War III is about to start. So try to avoid that. It's difficult. Just simple. This is the thing. This is the rule. This is the consequence. No problem. It is a problem, I know. But so consequences and boundaries with love. I love the story of Jesus' baptism, where Jesus is there getting baptized by John the Baptist. As he says, he doesn't need to repent of his sins, does he? But to fulfill all righteousness. So he's there getting baptized, and the Spirit comes upon him like a dove, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son whom I love. In him I am well pleased." And Henri Nouwen and others note that the Father says this about Jesus before Jesus has really done anything of note out in the wider world. Before, probably he's healed people or taught a whole lot, delivered people, whatever it might be, really embarked on his mission. The Father is pleased with Jesus before any action on his part. And I think that's a fantastic thought for us. God is pleased with us, his children, before we do anything, independent of what we do, because we are his beloved creation, his beloved children. And that was true of God, the Father, and Jesus. And it should be true of how parents and also all of us respond to others. The world may judge you by your performance, and they do, don't they? But mums and dads, grandmas and granddads, and uncles and aunts, and cousins and everyone, we want to have love and acceptance. That's always there, no matter what. And this can be tested at times as the children grow old, but always that's the foundation. This gives a child tremendous security. I love Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. That picture of a weaned child is the most perfect picture of contentment. So the child isn't going to its mother for milk, desperate for that life-giving milk. They're weaned. They can go and have some mashed banana or whatever, you know. They are just there enjoying, resting in his or her mother's arms, perfectly content and at peace. That picture of security is what we can have with the Lord and our children can have with us. Just totally knowing that you've got their back. They trust you implicitly. Now, it's not a guarantee that everything will turn out amazing. Love your kids a whole lot. I've just finished the book Beautiful Boy by David Skiff, and he talks about his son's drug addiction and how he as a father tried everything, just helping him, loved him unconditionally, always often paying for rehab and then not paying because, you know, he needed to have consequences and all this kind of thing. Very good book. They're still on the journey, you know, years later, because it's a lifelong thing, being an addict. But a really good reminder that even when you do everything right as a parent, sometimes, you know, things happen and it's really difficult at times. Not wanting to make things sound hard for you, or, you know, but the reality, you've got to have a reality check at times. So secondly, and the next 2 points are much quicker, build your family on Christ. No matter how big you grow, never grow up so much that you lose your child's heart full of trust in God. And that's great, isn't it? Children actually have a lot to teach us about faith in God. But remember the words of Paul in Romans 10. How can they hear unless someone preaches to them? And I'm not saying that you set up a pulpit in your lounge and preach to your kids, okay, kids, you know, just sit down quietly. I'm going to deliver the sermon for whatever. But we do provide opportunities for our young'uns to hear the word of God and to know God for themselves. Well-known passage in Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them as on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. As parents, your job, first of all, is to love God. Love God. In fact, as all of us, that is our job. Everything else we do flows from that. Kind of a job sounds a bit mundane. It's our delight, our privilege, our creaturely response. And then to teach your children to do the same. Take them to Sunday school, send them to kids' camps, but don't limit your teaching about God to those things. And we talked in our session a few weeks ago about things like age-appropriate i.e. fun, family devotions. And there's a huge amount of resources of those. Read a good children's Bible, like the Jesus Storybook Bible, which Benson read from before. Very good Bible, because it gives the big picture of God's plan. It doesn't just have individual stories. And but there are lots of good children's Bibles. And pray together. Pray together. Let your light shine in front of your kids. You know, we might go out and be a wonderful witness in our workplace and community, etc., which is great. But at home, as well, sometimes we just relax and whatever. But actually, we want to be shining our light at home as well. There are some great tools, as I mentioned, to help you. There's this Bible I mentioned. Faith Box that Mary Grant, you've probably heard of her, has developed. A lot of good things in there. And Right Now Media has a huge amount of particularly videos and resources that you can tap into. Really good for families. It's huge. Over 20,000 videos in there. And most of you should have got a video, a link this morning. So let me know if you didn't, and I can add you on. And friends and family are welcome to join as well. Great. Now, let me confess right now, we weren't that crash hot with family devotions. If I say, do family devotions, we weren't that great. Just talk to my interview my kids. And if I did it again, I would try and persevere longer than I did. We were very blessed with a Christian school for quite a few years, and particularly my older two kids, we kind of leaned on them a lot on the school because they had such a wonderful Christian education. But home is a good place. And this is the most important thing I'll say all day about this. You will fail. You will fail. At the end of the book of Joshua, they've taken most of the land. Joshua is there. He's speaking to the people. He's going to die fairly soon. His time is up. And he says, you know, you've taken all this thing. Now serve the Lord. Follow him. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And then the people said, yay, we will serve the Lord. We will do it. We'll do that. Yes. And then Joshua says, you are not able to serve the Lord. Talk about reality check. You can't do it. You are not able to serve. Yes, we will. We will. You can't. And inevitably, of course, in fact, quite soon, we find that they cannot serve the Lord. And this is the reality for all of us. And it's actually liberating. Because we can have this kind of phantom idea of the phantom parent. You know, the phantom parent is a bit like the phantom spouse or the phantom pastor. They're perfect. You know, the phantom parent goes to the gym each day, has a 1 hour quiet time, prays for the whole extended family, updates their social media profile beautifully, and works full time and takes the kids everywhere. You know, just amazing. And we sometimes, we say, oh no, we don't have that view, but actually we do try and be the best parent since sliced bread, and we cannot do it. We need to accept that only with God's help comes real success. I remember when I was 16, back in the 80s, they had this thing where you got your driver's license and then you just drove. You know, those who are younger may not appreciate this, but once you got your license, that was it. You were let loose on the road and none of this learner's license, restricted license, you just got there. So my very first day without anyone in the passenger seat, I was driving, got to the end of my little cul-de-sac, didn't give way particularly well. The guy tooted. That wasn't a good start. Anyway, got onto the main road near where I lived, and I really wasn't enjoying myself. It was terrifying. There were cars going everywhere, and I could have gone around the big block and then come back, but I decided I was just going to go home. So I needed to do a U-turn, which was not a good idea. So I pulled over, and I backed into a driveway so that I could turn around and go back home. I knocked over a little concrete wall as I did it. And if you pass that spot to the day, you can still see that cement that's there in that concrete wall. That's me. Anyway, I managed to get home, and I gave Mum the edited highlights of this adventure. And you know what she said? Well, she said, you know what you have to do, Andrew? And I thought, oh, no, my driving career is over before it's even begun. She said, you have to get right back behind that wheel and have another go. And I've never forgotten that, because that's the reality of life, isn't it? That we will fail. The key is to, with God, confess, ask for his help, and then get back behind the wheel of our lives and keep going. We want to model for our kids what it means to live by the grace of God, not to live according to a whole lot of rules and be phantom amazing parents, but to live by the grace of God and to experience his forgiveness in our lives. We show them that it's not about being the best. It's about knowing the best person, Jesus. We don't do it. I've quoted this a few times the last couple of months, but when I discovered this quote, I really liked it. We don't do it. We don't try and please God. We don't try and fulfill the commandments and live the Christian life to make him like us. We do it because we are like him. Through Jesus, he has forgiven us and he's made us his sons and daughters. He's made us his chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Therefore, in response, and because we are that, we live up to it. We live according to what he has already done in us. Finally, short point, celebrate often. I actually did the same outline for a wedding a few weeks ago. I thought it was such a great outline. I'll just move it to you guys. Different content, but same outline. And I said to the couple, look, I could have had conflict resolution, very important. I could have had communication, very important. But I wanted to say celebrate often. We worked for Christian ministry for many years, and we lived on support. Our kids were growing, so we raised money to buy a people mover, our first people mover. And after we got this people mover, God had provided it. And so we had a celebration service with our kids in the house, and we just celebrated what God had done. And they still talk about that. We could have done it more often, but it was a good time. In the Bible, God instituted many celebrations so that people would remember the great things that God had done. So the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles was about living in a tent, or as you can see, that's a kind of a shack, for 8 days to remember the time of the wilderness wandering where God provided for his people in the wilderness. I can imagine that living in one of those for 8 days would be better than quite a few sermons, wouldn't it, in terms of that? And there's a great party, of course, that goes along with it. Celebrations are fun with lots of people. We had a great celebration last night. Many were involved in helping and joining in for Glenda. And that's why the church is well placed to facilitate them. Child dedications, baptisms, weddings, and yes, funerals. Advent and Easter, Pentecost coming up soon, and of course the Lord's Supper, regularly celebrating Jesus' death until he comes. Celebrate often as a family, birthdays, unbirthdays, the first day of the month, the last day of term, you name it, celebrate it. Holidays are great, of course. When I ask my kids, what's the holiday you really remember? And I think they'll say Singapore, because we had those few days there, the stopover, we did everything. It was amazing. Surely that was the holiday they'll remember. But the one that was most favourite for them was the few years we were able to just go up north to the beach and hang out there and just enjoy relaxing and kayaking and swimming and for mum and dad, lots of reading, and it was great. The question, of course, with holidays is, with Wi-Fi or without Wi-Fi, that is the question. I'll just leave that to you. We did have Wi-Fi up there, but, you know, other places have not had Wi-Fi. So, but actually, you know, the most precious moments are the ones that we didn't plan for. It wasn't that holiday we saved for. They just happen. And a home full of love, they happen a lot. And they, next page, they weave a tapestry of memories and values that will give our children the resources to take hold of the life God has for them and the faith in God to go forward into that life. That's the kind of memories, if you like, that really last a lifetime. Does anyone remember the old ViewMaster? You know, you'd put this round thing in. You can still buy them. I don't know why. But anyway, this little video expresses some of that with a ViewMaster. So enjoy. Thanks very much. Thank you.
to now, as a tree grows, I pray I'm strong and wise with my rings inside. Help me grow.
Right, so now we come to the part of our service where we dedicate our wonderful children to the Lord.